Sam Houston's wounds healed slowly. He underwent several surgeries to repair his thigh and his arm. But the young soldier's subsequent rise to power and prominence was surprisingly swift. By the time Houston returned to active duty in the infantry, General Jackson and his army had won a stunning victory at the Battle of New Orleans in January 1815, ending, once and for all, American battles with the British. But even as the war came to a close, Houston's relationship with Jackson continued to grow. Houston became Jackson's protege and more, and almost a son to Old Hickory, after the 22-year-old, at Jackson's personal request, was assigned to the general staff in Nashville, Tennessee. And Houston needed a father. His own dad died when he was 13, and he had spent his early teens in the frontier, Tennessee, with a rocky relationship with his mother. Finally, at age 16, unhappy with his life on his mother's farm, he ran away, finding a home with Chief Ulateka of the Cherokee Nation. Houston embraced life with the Cherokee, since he liked the wild liberty of the red men better than the tyranny of his own brothers. The Cherokee had trained the restless young man, equipped him for a life of war. Now Houston wanted to be equipped for a life of politics, and he needed someone from his own culture to take him under his wing. Jackson, perhaps perceiving Houston's need and remembering his own fatherless youth, became that man. When Houston resigned his commission in 1818 to start a legal career, Jackson continued to support him. Thanks to his mentoring, Houston gained an insider's view of the intricacies of Tennessee politics and was appointed General of the Tennessee Militia, a post Jackson once held. And he became a regular visitor to Jackson's beloved plantation home, the Hermitage, where not only Andrew Jackson but his wife Rachel continued to embrace him as if he were a son. Supported by Jackson, Houston flourished, eventually running with Jackson's encouragement to represent Tennessee in Congress. Jackson became a U.S. Senator in the same election cycle, and the two men together headed for Washington. Houston's rise didn't stop there. 5 years later, he was back in Tennessee as governor and seemed destined for a long and prosperous political career. America was young and growing, and there was much a young man with courage and ambition could do. It seemed that a fatherless child raised in poverty and then by Cherokee was going to make it to the top. Seeming to cap his success was his luck in love. On January 22, 1829, the 35-year-old Houston and lovely Eliza Allen exchanged marriage vows by candlelight in her father's sprawling plantation house. The best of Nashville society toasted to the couple's happiness and to the groom's rise to ever greater political success. But the marriage was the turning point in Houston's luck. Just 3 months later, Eliza abruptly left her husband to return to her father's house. Houston had questioned her faithfulness, and whispers and rumors blossomed into a full-blown scandal. Few details surfaced, but it was Eliza who was vindicated, proving Houston to be deeply in the wrong. He withdrew his accusation, but he had already ruined the relationship and his political career. By insulting her honor, Houston had violated the social code of the day, leaving him no choice but to resign as governor. As his predecessor, Governor Billy Carroll, observed, quote, "Poor Houston rose like a rocket and fell like a stick," close quote. Houston left Tennessee. He found refuge with the Cherokee once again. Nearly 20 years after he had first asked them for help, the chief welcomed Houston's return. The man who only weeks before had seemed destined to be president of the United States disappeared entirely from the American political life. Tortured, he did all he could to forget his former world. He abandoned his city clothes, the English language, and his birth name once again, becoming known in Cherokee as Colonnay, the Raven. For months, he attempted to numb his pain with alcohol, admitting later that he buried his sorrows in the flowing bowl. His huge liquor consumption soon earned him a second name, Osaiti Arti Toski, Cherokee for the big drunk.